Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Berlansky, joined as always by Nick Horwat, and Jake Guentzel, as of this moment at least, is still a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins. For how long, that much we do not know. We'll dive into the latest on Guentzel Watch here early in this episode, but we're also going to talk a little bit about other stuff so it's not completely outdated by the time we hit publish. Dubas being patient, has that cost the Penguins? Do you begrudge him for it? We'll talk that in the second segment, and the feel around the room is there's still hope for the playoffs. Part of that might be, what else are they going to say? Part of that might be honest. We'll talk about whether or not you should be buying into this team with about a month left in the regular season. But Horwat, I now know what all those doomsday people felt like, the ones that followed the Mayan calendar, at least, whenever December 22nd of 2012 hit and the world was not blown up yet. You just look around and say, well, now what do we do?
Yeah, it's, we're just waiting on the, we're waiting on the bomb to drop almost. We're waiting on the eventual just tweet from one of the big names of hearing the trade call is coming in. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be, we've already gotten a ton of details on what could possibly be a holdup, what could be going on with the Jake Guentzel deal situation, the trade to team A, B, C, or D. There's still a lot of teams in this. It kind of sounds like Dubas is running an auction almost of just going to the highest bidder, but also holding extremely firm, and rightfully so, as we'll discuss, on that price tag. I think that's probably the smart move, A, for Kyle Dubas in his first trade deadline with the Penguins, and for the team. The watch rages on. The hashtag against watch goes into day. I mean, when would we consider day one, really?
Exactly. Yeah, you have to have an entire conversation of when was it supposed to be trade? Because there was hope that there was going to be a contract extension at points this season, but a large majority of the fan base kind of expected it to be a trade as long as the Penguins continued to play the way they were playing. Mm-hmm. And now here we are with about, you know, 24 to 30 hours before the NHL's trade deadline. And as we'll talk about, you've told me you feel like it's almost certain that he's going to be traded. Actually, let's get to that right now. Yeah. Because, you know, you've said a couple of times and you've kind of hinted at it on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it, that a trade feels certain based on what you've heard. Does that still feel like the case as we enter Thursday of trade deadline week?
It really does. I just, from the things that I've been told that I will not repeat into this microphone, but just from the things that I've been told, it feels very certain that something is going to happen. Just based on the details that I've been told, and, you know, more details involving Vancouver being a preferred destination. So that's that doesn't mean much, really. It doesn't. It's just the fact that if Guentzel had a choice, that's where he'd want to go. Now he kind of does, considering a no trade list. But if, you know, a team that the Penguins are looking to move him to aren't on that list, then he doesn't. That's just the way the contract works. But if he was to have a choice, it'd be Vancouver. They are obviously one of the teams still in the running and have been making hard pushes. But got to meet that price. And from as far as I know, I would still say a trade seems pretty certain. Mm-hmm. Team skates at 10:30 today. We'll see if something A happens before then, and then B, if he is around the rink. So we'll see what today brings. I just feel like it's still on the horizon. If it, you know, there was a lot of those reports that were that it was going to get done yesterday. It didn't, but there was clearly, it seemed, stuff going on to get it done. And then we'll see what happens today. Game days can be weird when it comes to trades, but doesn't mean they're off the table. And then obviously Friday is going to be a ton of fun for many teams around the league anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're past that self-imposed self-deadline that the Penguins set of Wednesday evening. So now we're kind of into uncharted territory as far as what Kyle Dubas's plan was coming into this week. But it doesn't mean we didn't get a whole bunch of trades yesterday. It felt at points yesterday like it was the trade deadline on Wednesday, that there wasn't a Thursday and Friday to this week. You had Noah Hanifin getting traded. You had Wennberg getting traded. You had the Henrik Kärrät trade up to Edmonton. You had Mittelstadt for Byram, one for one. Another fun trade
there.
Wow,
that one.
You had the Tarasenko trade to Florida for what a lot of people were saying, oh, the only two third-round picks at the best. Let's not forget he had a no trade clause entirely, so it was where he wanted to go. And then Sean Walker obviously going from Philadelphia to Colorado as well. So a whole bunch of movement, some of those going to teams that are involved in the Jake Guentzel mix. So that tells you that, you know, maybe some teams are moving on, but also they're still in the mix because, well, the salary cap sometimes isn't real, especially if you're the Vegas Golden Knights. We got some interesting updates, and the latest we're going to talk about here, Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff late last night, we were texting about it, says Carolina, Florida, the Rangers, the Vancouver Canucks, and still the Vegas Golden Knights are in the mix, and saying Florida and Vancouver made strong pushes but don't have, quote, the goods to get the deal done as of right now.
And that's just as of right now. Who knows if a price goes down in the coming hours or in the coming days because the Penguins seem like they want to get this done. Who knows if a price gets matched? Who knows if one of those teams sort of antes up and says, okay, fine, we will part ways with whatever you're asking for. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot. How desperate is Jim Rutherford for this? How desperate is Kelly McCrimmon in Vegas, or is that, or am I getting it wrong? But how desperate are these GMs and these other teams to get this player? If they really believe Jake Guentzel, and I believe Jake Guentzel can easily push any of these teams. Like, Vancouver is a good team. I don't know if they strike me as a cup contender yet. I mean, Vegas is the returning champion, so they are. Carolina has always needed someone to get over that hump. The Rangers have always needed someone to get over that hump. Same with Florida. Adding Jake Guentzel to any of these teams suddenly, in my eyes, turns them into a legitimate, oh, you have a real chance to win this, to win the Stanley Cup. They turn them into a real deal contender. And that's fascinating. So it should, any of these teams really should be trying to buy and spend whatever they can for this player. Even if it is just a rental, really. That's the other part of this report, is that I think no matter where he goes, it's going to be in a rental situation, which does make things interesting, especially for following Guentzel into the summer. But, I mean, for now, it's maybe that's also what's holding teams up. They don't want to spend that much on a rental. But if you win the cup, who cares?
Exactly. I mean, that's, at the end of the day, that's the end all be all. You raise a banner, then who cares what happened to get you to that point, especially if you're getting a guy in Jake Guentzel that, you know, has raised a banner before. He's been a major part
could win
of a team
Conn
raising
Smythe
a banner.
He could win a Conn Smythe this year too. Let's be real.
If he goes to one of these teams and has one of those runs, I mean, we saw it last year with Ivan Barbashev, who probably should have gotten a little bit more love for the Conn Smythe, but trade deadline acquisitions can very much so turn into the driving force behind a Stanley Cup run. So that Saravalli report as well goes hand in hand with what Josh Yowie of The Athletic put out yesterday, saying Guentzel is not going to go to Vancouver unless the price is dropped, saying that Kyle Dubas is steadfast, at least as of right now, on what he wants in return for Jake Guentzel. We'll talk about him and his patience with this team and with this trade deadline in the next segment, but it seems as if Kyle Dubas knows his price, and he's not going to budge until maybe the last possible second on it. It might cost him some other things, but he certainly wants to make sure that he gets a fair compensation for Jake Guentzel, who you just deemed, I mean, and you're not wrong, somebody that could potentially be a Conn Smythe contender if you go to a Stanley Cup team that goes on a run here. Now, the last thing I want to touch on with the Guentzel situation before we move over to talk about the rest of the team is a tweet by Kevin Weeks of NHL Network yesterday. He said that there's been a lot of potential trade scenarios put out, but this one caught his eye. Now, I don't know if that means he's heard it from people in the know or if he's just fielding a lot of trade scenarios from the internet. But this one is interesting, especially in accordance with a lot of the reports that are out there. It says, potential trade scenario, three-team trade. Vancouver gets Guentzel. Boston gets Lindholm from Vancouver. And Pittsburgh gets Jake DeBrusk. First and foremost, this would be the basis of a trade. The Penguins would not go one for one in this trade. That is just one, ridiculous, and two, not the intent. So the Penguins would get much more than this, but this would be the basis for the trade. And really, the big piece is trying to make the salary cap work for each team in this one.
Yeah, and that's a hilariously massive deal, especially considering the fact that Vancouver added Lindholm just a couple weeks ago. I mean, yeah. There's already been reports that he isn't fitting. That was fast, wasn't it? But just that would be that sort of turnaround, that sort of flipping a guy twice before the deadline to really hold down a main goal of Jake Guentzel. And, you know, that means Boston gets someone they've had their eyes on. Mm-hmm. And the Penguins kind of dive into, again, we wouldn't know the further details. We know if there's a prospect flying around somewhere. We don't know how many draft picks are flying around and all that. This is just something that Weeksy picked up on, and I think it's fascinating.
I do too. Yeah, I honestly, I mean, DeBrusk is a rental as well, and that's literally purely just to make the cap work. But as we'll talk about in the third segment, some people in the locker room still believe they have a shot, and adding a guy like Jake DeBrusk, while it's not Jake Guentzel, it does give you some pedigree back in the lineup at the tail end of this season.
Yeah, and who knows? And anytime a trade happens and it's, you know, a team is acquiring a player, regardless of status, it's suddenly you also have to consider, regardless of status and contract situation, you have to consider, are they going to want to stick around? They're going to get here and be like, oh, you know what? This is a very good situation for, let's say, me and the family, a very good situation for me and my career. Let's say he gets a higher role here. I don't know how much winning he's done. I forget how long he's been in the league for. I don't think he was on that Boston Bruins team, but you get the idea of he's, you know, maybe he's just fine and cool with the situation. Suddenly you're looking at Jake DeBrusk in Pittsburgh, if this sort of thing was to happen. Suddenly you're looking at Jake DeBrusk possibly staying in Pittsburgh for a couple seasons. Mm-hmm. Twitter seems really down on Jake DeBrusk. I don't know what happened. I can remember there was a time where
2 years ago. I mean, that seems like everybody the Penguins go to acquire.
Yeah.
In the last couple of years. It's like, oh, yeah, 3 years ago, everybody wanted that guy. But now it's a little past time. I mean, Granlund last year, prime example. Everybody wanted him in, 2018 or whenever he left Minnesota. And then they get him last year. And you're like, well, why did this is not timing? Timing is an important piece of this. So, but I do find it an intriguing, you know, proposition put out there by Kevin Weeks. Now, do I think that that's the most probable scenario? No, I don't. I don't think a three-team trade involving bringing back Jake DeBrusk is a probable scenario, simply because if it takes anything away from the actual return, meaning high-end prospects or picks, Kyle Dubas is not going to want it, because that is, you know, that's what Kyle Dubas is fishing for. And Jake DeBrusk isn't a geezer, but he's not. He's certainly not like the youngest guy. He's towards the end of his prime years right now with the Boston Bruins. So I don't know. It's an interesting trade. It's an intriguing proposition. But as we continue to both check our phones every single 5 seconds, but we're going to take a quick break. When we return, this is a rough spot for Kyle Dubas. Do you begrudge him for staying patient, or do you thank him for staying patient and holding his ground in some of these situations? We'll talk about that after the break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. It is trade deadline week, which is why both of our phones have been buzzing. Hopefully you can't hear it. If you can't, then that's great. If you can, well, it's all part of the allure of trade deadline time. We have little over 24 hours to go before that 3 p.m. deadline, and still everybody remains on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Obviously, as we talked about, Jake Guentzel should be that first domino to fall, but let's talk a little bit about Penguins president of hockey operations and general manager Kyle Dubas. Many have been on him for the job he's done so far. A lot of critics, a lot of skeptics on the performance that he has had in his first 9 months with the Penguins organization. He's remained as patient as possible, and it's turned into a shot clock with, like I mentioned, just over 24 hours left. Horwat, do you begrudge him for remaining as patient as he has this season with this team and this week with the trade deadline and all the moves going on?
Let me hit unmute. I do this every episode now. No, I don't begrudge him at all. I said this last episode. Whenever it came time for him to have a presser and discuss where the team is going, he said, you know, the first time, I'm going to let the team decide. And the team went on a good little run, putting up, I forget what the record was exactly. It was like
10-3-3 over 16.
Yeah, they put up a really good run, and suddenly you're looking at the team of they can contend for a playoff spot. You know, they never got in. They kept losing. Those three were essentially those must-win games to pop into the playoff positioning. But regardless, they still looked like a team that could, you know, maybe use a piece. Maybe not a big piece, but maybe use a nice little addition to sort of jumpstart the rest of the season, or maybe the shakeup of a locker room shakeup trade. Regardless, that didn't happen. But you can't begrudge him because Kyle Dubas said, I'm going to let the team decide what we do. And the team decided to continue winning, or to keep winning at the time. And then the wheels started to fall off. The All-Star break happened. Kyle Dubas once again came to the podium and said, I'm going to let the team decide what I'm going to do. And, you know, they won a couple. I think they won three straight after that. And then the Western Conference road trip tanked everything. So at this point, I would say Monday the 4th here, if we're going to try and label Guentzel Watch Day 1, that would be it. And we're only four days removed from that. And I can't hold Dubas accountable for waiting that long, because the team showed that they could do it. The goaltending showed that they could stand on their head and steal wins. They could get wins. The scoring was evaporating, but they were getting great work from Sidney Crosby. They were getting great work from Jake Guentzel at the time. And Erik Karlsson was on point streaks, regardless of how people thought of him. There were things going in the right direction. And it was once this disastrous road trip happened that really sealed the deal of, okay, it's time to end it all. And that didn't give Kyle Dubas a bunch of time to work with, but I can't hold him accountable for it, though. And especially when it comes to holding strong on that price tag.
Yeah, he was basically a hopeless romantic for the Penguins, saying, yeah, you know, we're out of it, but, you know, those games in hand and the way they've been able to beat certain teams this season, the performances they've had against some of the best teams in the NHL, but here's why I begrudge him a little bit. I'm not going to say entirely, simply because he changed this team so much last offseason, you're going to have to give them time. Yeah. You're going to have to give them more than the allotted 20 games that most general managers give their team before deciding what they actually are. We're 60 games into this point. Everybody knows what the Penguins are. They're a team that at their best can compete with anybody, but are very rarely at their best. And they've been that all season long. Now, if they didn't have the games in hand and say they were 8 points back of the playoffs with no games in hand or with games in hand coming from other teams on them, I think this would be an entirely different situation. But he's remaining patient simply because this is year one, right? He wasn't brought in to make this team a championship in year one and then fade into the back. He was brought to this team to try to certainly turn the tide of everything that was happening with the prior regime. And I think that he has done that to a point. Now he has missed, but I think the patience aspect of it was simply there are a lot of players on this team that are new. This is an entirely new team. And the biggest problem is they just can't stay consistent. But if they get that consistency, we saw it happen with Nashville. Nashville was supposed to be a massive seller at the deadline. Even their goaltender, even UC Saros, was pictured to be on the market. That was probably the prized possession for everybody looking for a goaltender. And what did they do? They rattled off 8 straight wins. They're buyers at the deadline now, as we'll talk about with Riley Smith. And they're not getting rid of anybody. They're sitting in a playoff spot, and they're sitting pretty pretty in a playoff spot right now. That was Dubas's hope. But the problem was the Penguins have not been consistent enough all year to be able to rattle something like that off. And I think that while, yes, the hope should have been there because you have all these talented players, and if it all comes together, then it could happen. He's in a position where it didn't, and now that's why he looks bad, because he put faith in these guys who could have potentially been the Nashville Predators of this season, and they just weren't able to pull through for him. So, again, Dubas putting faith in his players, I'm sure that's going to go a long way with whoever's left on this roster after tomorrow afternoon. But at the same time, it's a tough position because it looks bad on him and he takes the brunt of it because this team is likely to miss the postseason.
Likely, yeah. And one good thing that I've heard through a bunch of things is that Dubas isn't afraid to make up for his mistakes. He's not afraid to pull plugs on things. It's something that he's done in Toronto. It's something that he may have to do here is to,
I mean, just ask Matthew Phillips.
He's already starting it, essentially. Yeah. And
yeah.
That's gonna looking back at the Matthew Phillips thing is going to be hilarious one day.
It's hilarious right now.
It
didn't matter.
But yeah, Dubas is not afraid to pull plugs on things, so we'll see maybe he can't do it, this season. Maybe he can't do it before this deadline, but if he understands that certain things aren't working out, this summer could be just as entertaining as last for the Penguins. Maybe not as, future altering, considering how much was up in the air, but just by the way of more moves, more guys that were just here for a year, who knows? And there's going to be a lot of changes again, I'd suspect. Dubas isn't afraid of doing that. So, I can't get on about it this year because, again, like you said, that team just never got on that Nashville run. Maybe there needed to be a U2 concert to take away from them. I don't know. But you can't hold them that accountable. This team kept showing signs of life.
Mm-hmm. They tried it with the Clarks. I mean, they didn't go on the Clarks run. They tried it, but just
brought the
work.
Clarks to PPG Paints Arena again. And I forget if they even won that game.
It didn't work this time. But no, there are other players besides Jake Guentzel that Kyle Dubas right now has the responsibility to at least try to move. I think, Lars Eller's on that list. Alex Nedeljkovic is on that list. Hasn't been a lot of noise or chatter surrounding any of those guys, but you would imagine that picks up here as the trade deadline closes in. One player that has gotten a lot of trade chatter, at least comparatively to the rest of the team outside of Guentzel, is Riley Smith. Reporting yesterday, David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period says that Vegas, Colorado, and Nashville, bringing them back in here, are rumored to have interest in Riley Smith. I said on Tuesday's podcast that I don't see a future with Riley Smith in Pittsburgh. I do see a future with him on one of these three teams. Now, Vegas is interesting because they're also in the Guentzel sweepstakes, but Colorado's been making some moves, and as we talked about, Nashville might just want one piece to give these guys some credit for the job that they've done to really fix their season down there in Tennessee.
Yeah, and maybe that change of scenery from Pittsburgh to Nashville helps a guy like Riley Smith. The thing about the Vegas part that gets really interesting with Riley Smith is that the Penguins wouldn't be able to retain. I think because of the way that trade works, it's exactly why Tony DeAngelo's contract couldn't be retained when he was going back and forth between the Flyers and Hurricanes. But if Vegas reacquires Riley Smith, they have to take on that full deal.
Yeah.
So, and judging by the additions they've made, they're not necessarily out of the running for Riley Smith, but it seems extremely unlikely considering they're still trying to add other names and pieces. So, leave them in the running, but maybe put them in the back of the line behind a team like Nashville, like you said, are looking for any sort of reward for the run that they've went on and sudden playoff atmosphere that might be heading to the... Are they the Music City? Yes.
Yes.
I always get that confused. But yes, that could be going to Nashville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because you mentioned retaining. I don't want the Penguins to retain on anybody at this deadline simply because if they do, they'll be at 3 retained salaries for next year at least, which means you can't retain on Ryan Graves in the offseason. So I'm just going to put that out there. You can only retain on 3 players. They're already retaining. Oh, wait. No, they're only retaining on 1. Excuse me. They're not retaining on Jack Johnson. So they have 2. Never mind. Go ahead.
Could you retain on Gensel this year and it's eliminated anyway?
Yeah, it's just at the same time.
Yeah.
And so right now the only retained salary is Jeff Petrie. I was thinking of Jack Johnson as retained, but he's a buyout. So never mind. Ignore the last 30 seconds of this podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, this week is huge for Kyle Dubas. It might not be the end-all be-all. Like I said, he signed a 7-year contract, but it's big for his approval rating, right? Like, he doesn't give a crap about that. But, you know, online, it is big for his approval rating. If he messes up this week, it is just going to be a lot of Dubas hate for the remainder of the season and until he can start to bounce back and fight out of that hole in the offseason. So we'll see what he's doing. He's been patient. Whether that's good or whether that's bad, it's what it is. He's been patient with this team, and they haven't rewarded him as of yet, but can they reward him in the last month of the season by getting back into the playoff picture? The folks in the locker room believe so. We'll talk about whether or not we do here after this break. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. Horwat, I think we can both agree at one simple fact. The playoffs are a long shot for this Penguins team, correct?
Very much so. It's last I checked on Money Puck, I believe the odds were 20.2%.
Yeah, I mean, so you're saying there's a chance.
That's 2 points up from the 18 that it was at going into that game against Columbus, and that was a season low. So,
oh, how a win against a team you haven't lost against since 2015 changes the tides, right? But when you look at the standings right now, 8 points back of 3 separate teams who are currently sitting in playoff spots. Here's the way I'm looking at this right now. Everybody wants to go off of, oh, last year they had this many points, it took this many to get in the playoffs. Let's simply look at this year, because that's what we all should be doing. When you're talking about point paces for the teams ahead of them, if they perform the way they've been performing and stay on pace for what they have been doing, Philadelphia would be at 94, Detroit would be at 95, and Tampa Bay would be at 94. That's where those three teams are. The other teams in the race with the Penguins, the Islanders at 91, Caps, who they're facing off against tonight, at 89, the Devils at 85, and the Buffalo Sabres at 82. But you got to throw them in there because they're nearly tied with the Penguins in points. The Penguins are currently on pace for 87, which puts them around where they're at right now. They would need 95 points to be in this conversation, which means they'd either need to go 15-6-1 or 16-7 just to have a shot at making the playoffs. And yet, everything coming out of the room says that they still believe, Horwat. What have you been hearing in the room this week? And should we be buying back into the Penguins after a win over a miserable Columbus team?
I wouldn't buy back in just yet. Now, every year there's always that team that sells things off and then suddenly, oh, hey, they're winning games. They just sold off their captain, their top scorer, they're this, they're that, and they're winning games. That happens every year. Those teams don't always make the playoffs, though. They go on that little run where it's like, oh, they might threaten for a chance, but they end up being like the first or second team out. I'm not saying that the Penguins can do that this year, but I am saying I wouldn't be shocked if it was the Penguins' turn to do something stupid like that. But I'm still not totally buying into this team being a playoff team. Everyone on this team that wears a pair of skates is buying into the playoffs, and they absolutely should. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Especially for many of them that have been around for how many years. It's kind of ingrained into the culture of, like, you're going for it regardless. You're taking the run at the playoffs. And regardless of who the opponent is, a division victory is going to feel good, and you're going to want to step in the right direction. They have another division battle tonight, and then they have a tough test on Disney Channel, on national TV against the Boston Bruins. That's actually going to be entertaining. I'm going to try and watch that Disney-style game. But they're going to want to go for it. And you can't blame them. That's what they're here to do. It's what they get paid to do. They have the belief. And Sidney Crosby didn't look interested in the Columbus game.
No, he did not.
But I can assure you, once the trade deadline passes and once the dust kind of settles on what this roster is going to look like for the final 20 or so games, I can assume he'll be locked in and he'll be looking at where they are, what they need to do. Evgeny Malkin's picked up a couple of goals in the last couple of games. Maybe he's going to do the same. Chris Tang, Erik Karlsson, these core guys are going to want to go for it too. So I'd suspect they lock in once the dust settles on this week. It's just, it's unfamiliar territory for them, all of them almost. So I don't want to cut them slack necessarily, but they're going to want to go for it.
If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, I think we all know it's a duck. The Penguins are 60 games into the season. We know what the Penguins are, and they're not a team that's going to rattle off those 8 wins that we talked about the Nashville Predators doing. They're just not, especially with the schedule they have in March. They play every other day. They have back-to-backs every weekend. They're not going to rattle off 8 straight wins. And like I said, 16-7. That needs to be their record. They're playing a lot of Metropolitan Division teams who they've been better against this year than they were last year, but still, teams that are also fighting for playoff positioning, teams that also have something to play for. The Penguins just have too many faults. So no, I'm not buying back in. You said just yet at the outset of this. I'm not buying back in this season. Until they show it to me on the ice, they can have this never say die message of defiance in the locker room all they want. When they go out on the ice, it's not a never say die message of defiance. There's a lot of crumbling that goes on in the course of a 60-minute game. Now, sometimes they bounce back, i.e. on Tuesday. Sometimes they don't. Saturday, Calgary. If it looks like a duck and it sounds like a duck, it's a frickin' duck. And the Penguins are an inconsistent team that haven't been able to win more than 3 games in a row but once this season. That's it. And you need more than that to make it to the playoffs this year. So I don't quite feel like that message of defiance, the never say die, it feels hollow to me. Especially, like you mentioned, watching Sidney Crosby on Tuesday. Now, do I expect him to do that over the next 22? No, but didn't expect him to do that at all, right? If anybody was going to take a night off, I would not have put my money on Sidney Crosby. Now, you can have an off game, but it was the body language. It was everything else surrounding his game that you just look at it and you're saying, well, if he's disinterested, how long until everybody else is disinterested? And even him disinterested can make a few plays. You sent me a tweet from Bob Grove that said it was his like second most shot attempts in a game since December or something like that. And I was like, I couldn't tell you that was the case. I certainly didn't notice it. So even when he's disinterested, he's still going towards the win. But what if Jeff Carter's disinterested? What if Lars Eller is disinterested? What if Altteri Puustonen is disinterested? We don't need to say what up with Evgeny Malkin. If he looks disinterested, everybody and their mother will let us know on Twitter.
And for what it's worth, in that Columbus game, he looked interested, man. Like,
he did.
Sidney Crosby was having that off game, and it was in normal Penguins fashion of, oh, Sid's having an off day, or it's equated to out of the lineup, and here's Evgeny Malkin going off.
Yeah.
It's what we've been watching for the last nearly 20 years.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'd love to say that I'm in on this team. I'd love to say that I believe in the impossible, but I'm not 12 anymore. I'm not 12 anymore. I've watched 60 games of this team.
Yeah.
And with 22 left, I don't see a 16-7 record. Again, just to be in the conversation, I don't see a 16-7 record coming out of these guys over the next month. I just don't.
And you shouldn't. And you shouldn't. If anything,
you shouldn't have hope. We're so positive on this podcast. I'm sure everybody listening to this is like, wow, thanks for the cheer up, guys.
Well, I said this on, I know we're going long all of a sudden, but I said this on the Hockey News' pregame show the other day. The Pittsburgh is a spoiled fan base across most sports. We're not going to discuss baseball. But in this is the part that we will include baseball. I barely saw it. I know you have a pirate thing back there. There it is. Yeah.
There we go.
Pittsburgh, they're spoiled, but they are a smart fan base across the sports. They are smart. The Penguins fans understand that this might hurt this year, but if Kyle Dubas is on the right train, makes the right moves, something different can happen next year. The fans might depart a little bit this year because it's hard spending money in this economy, going to games, and going to witness nonsense. But next season's going to be a different story. Home opener's going to sell out. Maybe we'll get a couple of good games in here and there. Next season's the year, going to be one of those final years to go for it. And also, everyone that is smart enough will be cherishing the final years of these three core members.
Yep.
And whenever I say this fan base is smart, they're not placing a ton of blame on Dubas just yet. A lot of heat is still getting thrown toward Ron Hextall.
The vocal minority is certainly throwing a lot of heat on Dubas. But again, the majority is sitting there patiently waiting, like Dubas has patiently waited for this team, saying, all right, well, you're 0-1, but 0-1 does not a career make. Let's see what you do on your second try and your second go around and your first full offseason as the head of the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's going to be an interesting 24 hours. We haven't gotten any news throughout this recording, which I would have preferred versus it coming out in 20 minutes when I'm editing it. But hey, nonetheless, we'll keep our eye on everything Jake Guentzel, on everything trade deadline, and we'll have as much content for you as possible here on Inside the Penguins on YouTube, anywhere you get your podcasts from, and also on InsideThePenguins.com. Make sure you check out all of those things. Make sure you turn on tweet notifications for Insider Nick Horwat. All of a sudden, we're good to go with that. I like that. We're going to make some t-shirts, and we're gonna be all set, Horwat. But that's going to do it for this episode of The Tip of the Iceberg. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time.